And now your speaker in this lesson is Tim Canup.
We hope that you will open your Bible and to study with us for the next few moments. In the life of Jesus the Christ, he made many accurate claims about himself, such as in John 8 and verse 58, where he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus did not say, "I was," but, "I am," denoting his eternality. In John 6 and verse 48, Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." In John 8 and verse 12, he said, "I'm the light of the world." And in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." It is from this 10th chapter of the Gospel of John that we want to focus our attention and the claim that Jesus made, that "I am the good shepherd." Let me invite you to read along with us, where we'll begin our reading in John chapter 10 and verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd." According to this reading, we understand that a hireling is one who has been hired to tend the flock. He has no personal commitment, and he will flee when trouble comes. But Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." You see, Jesus is willing to give his life to protect the sheep. Notice the first part of verse 16. It is a greatly misunderstood passage. Jesus said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." Let us study together this morning and see if we can better understand what Jesus taught about the good shepherd and his fold. Let us begin by noticing that there is only one shepherd, as is stated at the end of verse 16. Who is the good shepherd? You see, sheep and shepherds were very common in this area during the New Testament times. There are many shepherds in the Bible. We have an example of David, who was a shepherd before becoming a king. In teaching, Jesus often used things that people were familiar with so that they would better understand the spiritual application. The good shepherd is not just some great man from a human aspect. The good shepherd is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is deity. He said, "I am the good shepherd." You see, shepherds are overseers. They provide for, they guide, they protect the flock. Jesus the Christ is the greatest shepherd. He is qualified. Now, notice the nature of this good shepherd. Going to John chapter 10, the latter part of verse 11, Jesus said, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then the latter part of verse 15, where Jesus said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." My friends, that is a great commitment. That is a personal commitment. You see, the nature of sheep are such that they depend upon the shepherd. If a shepherd was like the hireling, then when trouble came, he too would flee and the sheep would be devoured by the enemy. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. In 1 Peter 2, beginning verse 21, the Apostle Peter wrote, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop," or overseer, "of your souls." Jesus the Christ the good shepherd, he shed his blood for us, the sheep. Jesus also provides us with the protection that we need from the attacks of the enemy. Notice with me in John chapter 10, verse 14 and the first part of verse 15. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. You see, it is common for different flocks of sheep to come together at the same time and the same place. When the time comes to separate the different flocks, the shepherd will simply make a particular call, and the sheep will immediately separate. Other shepherds may make a similar or the very same call, but the other sheep will not respond. You see, sheep recognize the voice and the tone of their own shepherd. The shepherd intimately knows his sheep, even to the point of naming them. Also, shepherds lead their flock. They do not drive them. Now, notice these principles with me as Jesus taught in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. In John 10, beginning at verse 1, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Dear friends, Jesus the Christ is the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep, and they know him. He leads them, and they recognize him, and they are willing to follow wheresoever he may lead us. Jesus is the only spiritual shepherd that we are to follow. We are not to follow some man. We as sheep need the spiritual guidance that only Jesus can provide. It is no wonder that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Now let us turn our attention to the flock or the fold. To make certain that we correctly understand what we are speaking of by a flock or a fold, let's turn to Webster's Dictionary, where he defines it as a group of certain animals, as sheep or goats, living, feeding, or moving together. In this particular teaching of Jesus, the sheep represented the people, such as is common in the Bible. We see this in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, where Isaiah said, All we like sheep have gone astray. Even in Matthew 9, verse 36, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus is comparing those who are willing to follow him with sheep. The sheep, or those willing to follow, are Christians or members of the church that belongs to Jesus the Christ. Christ is the shepherd because he is the founder of the church. He purchased it with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. He established it, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. He is the head of the church, Ephesians chapter 1, 21 through 23. And he is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5, 23. Dear friends, there is only one fold. Notice Jesus' statement at the end of verse 16, where he said, And there shall be one fold. Jesus spoke here in future tense because he had not yet died on the cross in order to purchase his church. Notice, if the fold is the church, and here in this context it is, then the Bible teaches that there is only one church. This is not foreign or new, because this is exactly what Paul was teaching in Ephesians 4 and verse 4 when he said, There is one body. Paul was describing the church as a body to describe its organization. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, he very clearly taught that the body is the church. Now let us turn our attention to this phrase, other sheep, that is found in verse 16. Jesus said, And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Who are these other sheep? Are they the various denominations, as we so often hear? Let us look at the remainder of verse 16 and see if this idea will fit the context. Jesus said, "Them also, the other sheep, also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." These other sheep will be part of the one fold or the one church that belongs to Jesus. So who are the other sheep? We need to interpret this passage in its proper context. We need to remember that this statement was made to Jews. Remember what Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16 concerning the gospel? He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Then he said, "To the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The word Greek simply is another term for Gentile. Gentile simply means one who was not a Jew. Let's turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 2. In verses 11 through 22, the Apostle Paul sets forth the idea of both the Jew and the Gentile being brought together by Christ's work on the cross. In Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 11, Paul wrote, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." You see, the Jews referred to the Gentiles, or anyone who was not a Jew, as uncircumcised. He goes on to say that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together and groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, notice with me chapter 3 and verse 6 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, friend, when Jesus referred to other sheep, he was talking to Jews. The Jews had the idea that simply being a Jew meant that they automatically had salvation. Jesus is introducing to them that the coming gospel age, the Christian age, would involve the church, which would allow both Jew and Gentile to be a partaker of the promise of God of salvation. In John chapter 11 and verse 52, "And not for that nation only," not just the Jews, Jesus is saying, "but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad." When Jesus said that there were other sheep, he was not talking about those who taught different things. He was talking about those who would come to follow the teachings that he brought to this earth. You see, Jesus said, "There shall be one fold." Dear friends, in order for there to be one fold, then there must be a standard. Jesus did not desire simple togetherness or union of the fold. Rather, Jesus' desire was for unity, harmony, oneness. Dear friends, there is a difference between union and unity. You see, union is simply to agree to disagree and come together anyway. It can be illustrated by the tying of two cat's tails together. You see, there is union, but there is no unity. You see, with unity, there must be a standard of teaching and a standard of practice. The standard must come from the one faith. What do we mean by the one faith? The one faith is the gospel system of faith. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, "There is one faith." Have you ever heard anyone ask, "Of what faith are you?" Paul said there is only one faith. But in this passage, Paul was not speaking about our personal faith. Paul was using faith as is used in Acts 6 and verse 7, where we're told that a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. You see, this company of priests, they obeyed from the heart the commandments of the gospel that was revealed in the New Testament. The faith that is used is in reference to the gospel system of faith. The one faith has been revealed in the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we know that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Therefore, all Scripture is contained in one book, the Bible. It is not the case that every person has a different Scripture. The Scriptures reveal the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, Peter said, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Dear friends, the gospel is based on the facts of Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection again on the third day according to Scripture. Jesus the Christ shed His blood so that we may have the forgiveness of our sins. In order for this to occur, though, we must contact His blood. It is not the case, friends, that just because Jesus shed His blood that we automatically and immediately have the forgiveness of our sin. We must contact His blood. It is the blood that takes away the sins, Revelation 1 and verse 5. The Scriptures reveal to us that when we obey from the heart that form of doctrine, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, in Romans 6 verses 3 and 4, Paul discussed what was involved in the like form of doctrine. The fact that we too must die to our sins, which is repentance. We too must be buried with Him by baptism. And when we do so, we're baptized into His death. It was in Christ's death that He shed His blood. It is in our obedience to the command to be baptized that we contact the blood, not a moment before. And when we obey that command to be baptized, we contact His blood, and it is the blood, not the water, that will take away the sin of any individual who is willing to repent and to obey. In Jude, verse 3, Jude wrote, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, the gospel system faith, which was once and literally for all delivered unto the saints." Dear friends, it was not the case that each individual has a different means of salvation, or each group has a different means of salvation. Jude spoke of the common salvation. But in our religious world today that's so greatly divided, everyone has their own system, whatever pleases or suits them. This is not the Bible way. Dear friends, if it is the case that there is not one faith, one gospel system of faith, then each person is at liberty to do their own thing in religion. And dear friends, that would be the epitome of confusion. And we know that God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. The faith, or gospel system of faith, is the same as the doctrine of Christ. Notice with me what John said in 2 John verses 9 through 11. John said, "Whosoever transgresseth," to transgress means to miss the mark or to disobey God's will in the New Testament. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Dear friends, to abide or to remain in the doctrine of Christ means that we have the Father and the Son, or in other words, we are in perfect unity. This is what Jesus prayed for in John 17, verses 20 and 21. Jesus prayed, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Paul wrote to the church at Corinth who was experiencing sectarianism. There were some who were saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Peter, and I am of Christ. He asked rhetorical questions. Is Paul crucified for you? Is Christ divided? Certainly not. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the name of Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul was pleading that they all followed the pattern of the New Testament, that they all follow the one faith, and only by doing so can there be unity. Dear friends, the doctrine of Christ is also the same thing as the apostles' doctrine that is mentioned in Acts 2 and verse 42, where the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You see back in John 17 and verse 20, Jesus was praying for them who would follow their word or the apostles' word or doctrine. The apostles did not have a different doctrine than Christ. You see, the apostles followed the doctrine that Christ gave them. There was unity in the early church. There was unity of teaching. There was unity of practice. And therefore, Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Until we all follow the pattern of the New Testament, then there cannot be unity. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He is our only shepherd, and we are His sheep. We are to follow Him and Him alone. We can do so by turning to the New Testament, by reading and studying and obeying the commandments that He has given. We can only follow Him by following the one faith, the gospel system of faith, this gospel of Jesus Christ as it is revealed in the New Testament. And dear friends, without Christ and without the gospel, we are as sheep without a shepherd. We have gone astray and are in danger of being devoured by the wolves.
Your speaker has been Tim Knupp.